Hello, America. My name is Josh Gilliland, and with me is Jessica Meterson.
Hey, Josh.
How you doing?
Good.
Today, Jessica, are figuratively getting into the hot tub time machine. Not literally. And we are going to talk about the great John Cusack and the intersections with our young lives in the 1980s.
Oh.
So, Jessica, I have my pen. Say anything for me.
Hey, Josh, that's right. We are here to talk about one of my favorite actors from the 80s and still today. I will always love and adore John Cusack. And we're here to talk about some of his best movies from the 80s. He has many good ones, but two of his best, I think. And one is certainly my favorite. But let's talk first about one that I think is your favorite, Better Off Dead. Is that right?
Yeah, well, yes. As many young men in the 80s, we identify with that. That's one of those that can actually give flashbacks as in addition to One Crazy Summer. So,
yeah.
Except I didn't actually do any of those things, and there was never a really hot French exchange student living across the street. So,
but otherwise, exactly the same.
Other than that, perfect. Keep down and everything. So.
Well, tell me, what are the main legal issues that were surrounding Lane and Better Off Dead?
He attempts suicide.
Yeah.
And that's an extremely dark, bad thing to address in a comedy. And we have laws across the United States, and since the story was in California, here in California, if you attempt suicide, that would be enough probable cause to be involuntarily confined for 72 hours to see if you were a danger to yourself. So just right out of the gate, that's a big issue in that. And that's how they, you know, they effectively open it. And you see other things that would justify that, such as all the hangers with the pictures of his then girlfriend, which just showed very obsessive behavior. All
yes.
of those things a mental health professional could look at and then present to a judge. And that probably would be sufficient for a 72-hour hold. And then throwing the suicide attempts, that definitely would be enough for a 72-hour hold.
Hot in the 80s, everything was less serious and more lighthearted, even suicide attempts, eh?
Definitely.
Well, how about the pig burger? What are the main legal issues at the pig burger?
Well, we do have the Van Halen song, Everybody Wants Some. And so, with the claymation and everything, that at pig burger, the owner of pig burger tells Lane, wash your hands on your own time.
Ew.
We have laws here that require hand washing, and the California health code that gets into that is very specific with all the times you should be washing your hands. All the things that would trigger a requirement for hand washing.
So not on your own time, in other words, on employer time.
Bingo. We want clean hands here.
A whole different clean hand doctrine, I guess, eh? Or unclean hands doctrine.
You can say that. You can say that. One that hits close to home for everybody.
That's right. All right, how about the exchange student? What are the legal issues there?
So, when you look at Monique, who was staying with Ricky's family across the street, it smacks of white slavery and bringing a woman across international lines for the son to have a boyfriend. Which, when you think about it, is just creepy on so many issues. That would trigger all kinds of human trafficking laws right out of the gate. And it's not the reason to have an exchange student.
It's not. Didn't they also do that in a Simpsons episode? Didn't Bart, when he went to France, didn't they basically put him to work at the foreign, when he was a foreign exchange student in France? Sorry, I just thought of that. I'm like, also that popped in my head, and he's wearing the beret, and he did learn a lot, but I think they worked him like a dog. Gosh, I need to go back.
Simpsons has been on for 20 years, so.
I know. It's hard to keep track of all of them. And I'm more old school Simpsons, of course, because I'm old. But old-ish. All right, well, how about the paperboy? What about the legal issues with the paperboy?
Unlawful collection. You cannot. The way he was going after the $2, and he was a tort-generating penal code violating machine, from launching newspapers through the garage door windows, causing property damage, and thus the paper being liable for the damages that their employee was thus causing. So that was bad.
Yes.
Bad mojo there. But going out and trying to collect $2 from going to the house, the pursuit, you also get into issues with gang violence when you have the pack of paper boys going after Lane. So all of that would be bad. Now, on the flip side, all those bad things doesn't necessarily justify Stalin's actions of pushing the paper boy off the cliff during the ski tournament.
No.
However, when you have the villain named Stalin, stuff like that's going to happen.
There's a little foreshadowing going on there.
I mean, they could have gone with Tojo, Mao, or Hitler, but they went with Stalin, and I think that was a little more subtle. it wasn't Khrushchev, but yeah, you get the idea. They definitely had an underlying theme with his name being Stalin.
Well, and it was 80s, so Cold War, you know, references, especially appropriate.
Exactly. Russian.
Yes. All right, well, that's good. That's some of the highlights from Better Off Dead.
Now let's talk about Say Anything, which I remember seeing with some buddies in Tahoe and being bored out of our minds. Because we were young, but, you know, we had seen Better Off Dead. It's like, yeah, it's a John Cusack movie. This will be great. And then we're like, oh, my God, this is a chick flick. And we're being tortured. It was tough for young males to go through that. So.
You were like the guys behind the gas and stuff who thought you already knew everything about girls.
No, we were totally clueless and wouldn't admit it. But, you know, we were just like, what is this? This was not what we signed up for.
Oh, I, on the other hand, of course, love Say Anything. Saw it with my boyfriend at the time. Did in some ways remind me a little bit of the Lloyd Dobler character. But, yes, I, of course, have always loved that movie. Every time In Your Eyes comes on, I get choked up. High Fidelity, of course, I thought was an excellent kind of sequel to it, so I also adore High Fidelity. I think more than I would otherwise, just because it seems like that's what Lloyd would have been if he'd grown up and, you know, he and Diane Court had broken up. So, yes, I adore Say Anything and still do. But I'm a chick.
Yeah, it was designed for you. So.
Yes, it was.
I should have worn the, you know, the tan, you know, jacket and held up the boombox for you.
Boombox. Yes.
That screams TRO right there. And so let's talk about some of the legal issues and Say Anything, and which, in retrospect, years later, I do admit is a good flick, but it wasn't good for a 12-year-old male. So, what states have the most restrictions on underage drinking?
Well, of course, and that dates back or relates back to one of the opening scenes in Say Anything with the party, the graduation party that Lloyd took Diane Court to, and he was the key master there, which at the time I thought was very responsible. They're putting one teenage boy in charge of all the teenagers' keys to make sure that nobody drives home drunk. And so, of course, the question is, can you do that sort of thing? And there actually are six states where you can, it is legal to host parties with underage drinking. Now, of course, there's still the whole separate issues of where the minors are getting the alcohol and all that. But there are six states where you wouldn't get in trouble for that. Washington, and they were in Seattle. Washington is not one of those states, so they would get in trouble. But there are, in general, eight different exceptions to the rule that underage people can't drink. Or, of course, as the dad at the Arizona Cardinals learned, it's not just the underage drinking that gets you in trouble. It's possession at all of alcohol. So even holding a cup of beer, like the 15-year-old boy was doing for his dad recently at that Cardinals game, can get you in trouble. So with that being said, so there are eight different exceptions. Some are, you know, for medical purposes, for religious purposes. There are four states that apparently have like 21 Jump Street things going on, and if you're doing something undercover, you're allowed to drink. There's also 11 states where you can actually serve minors at restaurants if they're there with their parents and their parents say it's okay, although it's usually up to the restaurant's discretion. Ironically, I have lived in three of those states, Connecticut, Wisconsin, and Texas, so I don't know, maybe I'm choosing those. But anyway, so as far as the most, did you ask for most or least restrictive? I've gone on so long now, I forgot which one you asked for first.
We went with the most restrictive
state. Our most restrictive state, the ones that only allow, every state has at least one exception. The most common one is that you won't get in trouble for underage drinking if you're reporting the medical need of somebody else. So in other words, and that's a smart law. I mean, you're saying, look, teenager, don't be afraid to call in the fact that your best friend has alcohol poisoning right now. You're not going to get in trouble for that. So like California, D.C., Indiana, Kentucky, Pennsylvania all allow that as their only exception to the rules about underage drinking. Some other states like Hawaii, South Dakota, and Tennessee only have an exception for religious purposes. So for example, I guess if you're Catholic and, you know, want to drink the wine, Florida and Missouri give an educational exemption only. So that's like for a culinary institute, like if you're teaching and a professor allows you to have a sip as part of learning how to pair, I guess, a wine with, I don't know, a torch, then, you know, that's allowed. And then it's funny, both Maine and Virginia only have one exemption, but that exemption is to allow basically private parties with parental consent. So it's funny that that's like the one, you know, exception to the rule that they have.
How do they do that? Do the parents have to sign permission slips?
I don't know. I didn't actually go there. I mean, they do just say parental consent, so I don't know if they have to actually physically be there. I mean, I know graduation parties, you know, high school graduation parties where the parents are drinking and the kids are there drinking. So I guess it kind of covers those situations. It's like, look, if you have a big family party to celebrate and the parents are all there hanging out, the kids, if, you know, the parents are fine with it, they get to drink too.
And this is my moral prude point of view. It's like, I would not be doing that. I think that's bad mojo and just playing with fire.
I see, and on the other hand, I've actually been at several high school graduation parties like that, outside of those states, I won't say what states, but I'm like, you know, it was just kind of, yeah, the high school and older kids got to drink, there maybe were a few younger cousins who imbibed who maybe shouldn't have, but I'm like, you know, you're all there out in the country somewhere, I'm not going to say anymore, but I don't know, so for me, that doesn't seem that big a deal, but I'm not quite, you know, with that, the bow tie gives you away as being maybe the more conservative of the two of us.
I think those who have watched us know that about us right out of the gate.
I'm a big wild party girl, you know.
Yeah, it's like, wow, because I don't, I mean, communion makes sense. I mean, I get that, you know, because blood of Christ, that's part of the religious ceremony. And it's literally, you know, a shot. I mean, basically, I get that for wine. But the other ones, I would, if I were a parent of teenagers, I would not do that. I understand.
But I think every dad has talked about giving their kids a beer at some point, especially the whole father-son watching football together, having a beer. I mean, I can't tell you how many guys I know that that's when they had their first beer. So, I mean, again, you know, there are whole other debates, and you still need to teach your children about moderate drinking and everything, but I don't. Or, you know, the families who have wine with dinner, and so they start letting their 18- or 19-year-old child have a glass of wine with dinner. I think that's more reasonable than sending them off to college, where all they do is a binge drinking with a bunch of other friends. So,
I'm all for teaching responsibility, and I think it's Colorado that they're debating a change to their law about this to make it a little less restrictive. And I remember it was a Republican legislature that was pushing this and pushing the change. I don't know where that is. I don't know if they're going to go for it. I would, again, I'm a little more prudish on that sort of thing, but reasonable minds can differ.
Well, it's funny you should mention Colorado, because then on the least restrictive side, Colorado, Louisiana, Nevada, and South Carolina all have at least five exceptions, or have five exceptions to the underage drinking rules. I can't remember specifically what Colorado's were, but they all had five. I don't think anyone's surprised by Louisiana and Nevada having so many exceptions. You'd expect that. But South Carolina certainly actually surprised me a bit, and then Colorado. So it's funny you bring that up. But actually the state that has the least, or the most exceptions, so the least restrictive, is actually New Jersey. They allow all of the exceptions except for the restaurant one. So there's no serving alcohol to minors at a restaurant, and they don't allow the one for educational purposes. So I don't know if they have any culinary schools there, but they allow all the other exceptions. So I was kind of surprised that New Jersey came in number one as the best for underage drinkers, or the worst as concerned society, but however you want to phrase it.
Yes, and this is where your point of view will play a major role in determining whether or not you approve or disapprove of the New Jersey standard. So, very interesting. Well, let's talk more about John Cusack. So, who's your favorite John Cusack supporting actor?
Well, you know, he's not quite like Will Ferrell and Adam Sandler, where he has the same cast of characters in every single movie, but obviously, you know, Jeremy Piven is in a lot of his movies. But one of the reasons I love John Cusack movies so much, most of them, again, we're not going to think about Con Air or a few others, but it's because Joan Cusack, sometimes his other sisters show up too, but Joan Cusack shows up in so many of them. And she is just one of my favorite characters, period. I just think she's awesome. She's kind of a character actor in Hollywood. You know, she's never going to be a leading role kind of person. But she is always hysterical in everything that she shows up in. She was brilliant, you know, her brief moment in 16 Candles. I love her as John's assistant in Gross Point Blank. She was, you know, she actually didn't have as funny a role in Say Anything, but she was there still as his older sister, ironically, watching him. But she's always awesome, so I just adore Joan.
Yeah, and wasn't she in Mars Needs Moms, just to make this Disney family friendly again?
I never saw Mars Needs Moms. I heard it was horrible. It was obviously a huge bomb for Disney. So I don't know. I hope not, because she was awesome. Well, even she's probably the best part of the movie.
Again, when you start thinking about, what else have they done? Have you ever had the John Cusack movie moment?
I have. This is my chance to brag, although now you're going to make it sound creepy because you brought up the TRO. I actually had the boyfriend do the whole in your eyes thing outside my window in high school. It did freak out my mom a little bit. It didn't end up working on me, but I did still find it pretty cool.
and this is when fathers start exercising their Second Amendment rights.
Oh.
I mean, there's... But, a warning shot would be a bad idea. I mean, the judge might take side with the dad, but that'd still be a bad idea. That's
yes, it would.
I've never, not the shooting at someone thing, but I've never done the boombox, the jacket. The South Park parody of that with Shock the Monkey was good. So.
Well, I'm very glad I had that moment. I did not have a lot of romantic moments in high school that I can look back upon, so I am very glad that I had that moment.
Yeah, we never cut up a car and put the engine into a sailboat. Never had anyone dress up as Godzilla and run through a party. Never did those things. So I have not had any of those moments that I know of.
I'm planning to save some of them for when I'm in a nursing home someday, because nursing home is kind of like high school for old people, so I plan, those will be my really crazy years, Josh, so if you're still a moral prude, don't come around my nursing home, because that's my plan to really let it loose.
I have no response. I don't even know what to say to that. So.
I'm just saying, I've got plans.
Well, I'm slightly disturbed. So that's good to know. Good to know.
Well, America, Josh and I will be at separate nursing homes, everyone. Don't worry.
Yeah, definitely. So with that said, America, you've now gotten a very good taste of what Jessica and I personally believe about things. So, John Cusack, wherever you are, thank you.
I love you, John.
You're a cool dude, man. Cool dude. So, America, stay geeky. Stay geeky, America.